Are we on?
Yep.
All right. We've come back to order. We just finished item six, the CEO report. Brings us on to item seven, new business. Consideration and approval of Swan Lake and Tyee Lake Safety Program Support Services and Training Contract. Craig?
Do you want to put a motion on the table?
Yes. We have a motion on page 85. Yes.
Mr. Chairman, I move to authorize staff to enter into a contract with TSS Inc. for SEPA Swan Lake and Tyee Lake Safety Program Support Services and Training for the contract period of October 1, 2019 through December 31st, 2020 for the not-to-exceed value of $96,000.
We have a second.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Craig, what do we got going here?
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Periodically, we put our training and all of our contracts out for bid. And so we put this out, and we actually only received one bid, and that was for the incumbent provider of TSS Inc. And covers a period that'll run through now through the end of the year, and then one additional year. And we've requested a certain not to exceed amount here. I'm hoping to get the actuals there lowered a little bit, but that's just to give us a little bit room. There's some things that we're trying to implement, and we're right on the cusp of getting our comms and such refined out at Tyee so we can have video conferencing, and hopefully that'll help lower the cost on some of these things and won't require a trainer to actually fly out to the site. They could do it over video conferencing. For some of the courses, of course, they'll have to be out there. But anyway, this is an investment in our employees, and obviously we take safety training seriously. So,
yes, Bob.
Question for you. Background: the contractor that you're looking at here. What's their background? What's their expertise level of it, and the reason you chose to go with it?
So they're the incumbent. They are already providing the service. They're a safety training provider within the community. They're a local provider. They've actually do it in multiple locations. I believe they have another office in Juneau, and then another one outside in another state, I believe, as well. They're qualified. They have certified trainers and such, and they're fully capable of performing the work.
Thank you.
And the TSS is tongue substance screening?
Yep.
So they started out in substance screening in regards to CDL, marine transportation, all this kind of stuff. And as they grew, they saw there was a need for first aid training and all that kind of stuff. They moved into that, and then they branched into even a larger providing full safety programs and recommendations. And so that's $96,000. Part of that is for them to pay for their own travel. Is that how that works?
Well, part of it's the cost of travel, because to get to Tyee is pretty significant. Obviously we cover a fair amount of, prepping for the courses and tracking and training. And I don't believe that I think we pick up the travel, don't we?
We pick up the travel. Right. This is just a guesstimate, because we've taken on the Swan Lake plant,
mm-hmm.
and so between the two, we're planning on all facets of training that hasn't previously.
Yeah, but to Bob's specific question, we typically try to pick up the cost of travel and have that direct bill to us, so we can control who that's going through and coordinate it better. So for most of our contracts, we try to pick up the actual travel portion of it.
And so I don't know if there's a coordinated effort to try to utilize our schedule. charters?
As much as possible.
I know that won't be for everything.
Yeah. So far on like our change out days, like Wednesday, when we have everybody at the plant, we also try to do our training on those days. And of course, coordinate the travel with that as well.
So I noticed that, I think it was this year, did we use, I guess it was somebody working for TSS. It was a firefighter that went out and did the first aid stuff or something. I happened to be at the plant.
That's Juan?
That's Juan, yes.
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay, well, it might have been
maybe it
through
was
them, but it was a firefighter doing.
That would have been through
the city.
That was. Oh, that must have been the city process before the shift over then, yeah, because he was out there doing some training for, I think it was first aid.
Gotcha.
CPR and first aid stuff. And do we have opportunities, I guess, to pay staff when they're in town to take training that's available to the larger public if they have stuff?
So, actually, I had this conversation with staff here the other day. One thing, this is a little bit different, but I also want to shift a little bit more focus onto staff safety training to make sure we're doing the right thing in the right places for some of our folks, especially the ones that are going out into the field and have higher exposure. You know, some baseline hearing testing and CPR, first aid. Looking at also buying an AED for the office and training people on how to use that. So I'm in the process of trying to bolster the administrative side as well as this is for the field side primarily though.
Okay.
And more than likely a lot of those courses would be through the same outfit.
All right. Are there any other questions in regards to the safety program, and they'll give you a full list of what they're going to train and stuff.
Oh yeah, we've got a whole training plan that we put together, and then we're, as part of this whole thing, is to try to synchronize our training between the facilities, so we're on track. We've got it all documented. Everybody's getting the required training, and then any supplemental training beyond that, we'll make sure that both plants are getting that as well. And this is on the safety side, and then you can add the training side, technical training on the other side of that as well, that we're trying to do as well.
Good. Any other questions, comments? Okay. So at this time, would you please call the roll?
I will. Sievertson?
Yes.
Lynn?
Yes.
Von Bargen?
I think Steve just got
yes.
it.
Yes,
he did.
Oh, but you got to acknowledge him.
Exactly. Yep.
Go ahead.
Sorry. Yep. Because she brought the motion.
Yes.
Amelon?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And so the next item is 7B, and that is delay on the table. Request proposal from CIPA Information Technology Support Service, IT Services. And there's a motion. Final motion, please.
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Move to authorize staff to enter into a contract with Arctic Information Technology, Inc. for CIPA's Information Technology Support Services for a contract term of 2 years for the not-to-exceed value of $120,000.
Then move. Do I have a second? I can second. I'll second. So, Trey, what do we have?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, this is another item that periodically we like to put some of our contracts out to bid. That's, I think it's just prudent to do it. Time intervals appropriate. The obviously, everybody knows we do not have a full-time IT person. It may be something I propose to the board at a future meeting, but for the time being, I think we obviously need one. We've got several units throughout our system that need to be maintained, and so we put this out and actively direct solicited folks that we could that we'd heard of or were around the state that could possibly support our effort, and then advertised as typical. We had four folks that responded. One was non-responsive. One was our incumbent provider, who is TexRUS. Right now, we took a hard look at these bids, and I've had some concerns over our cybersecurity, namely, and some of our backups were not done correctly, frankly, and weren't being done. Case in point, my computer got the blue screen to death here a couple of years ago, and they had to send my hard drive in and try to recover it, and I ended up losing a bunch of data. And so there was just some areas that I wanted to take a hard look and see if there was a better option out there. And frankly, if you start looking at the cyber risk component of it, certainly that's a good reason to look as well, because as you recall, we just got through doing a fairly significant internal audit for cybersecurity, and we found a number of things that I'll say probably weren't up to industry best practices for the utility industry. Out of all the bids, I would say that Arctic and TexRUS, their monthly flat fee was fairly close, but hands down, Arctic has way more experience in cybersecurity and appears to be a lot more proactive. As part of their flat fee, they will do intrusion tests on a quarterly basis, and then they'll do remedial training with the staff if they find some gaps. So there's a couple of components with this particular contract. You kind of have a flat fee for just your basic functions for, you know, doing your regular updates and backups and things like that on your system. And then there's, I'll say, an hourly rate wage sheet that the other stuff that's charged to your call tickets when you call in. Somebody says, hey, I can't, I got the blue screen to death. You know, I need a computer configured. I need you to fix it and set it up. Or maybe I need you to go in and help configure a firewall. Stuff that typically wouldn't be handled through a help desk. I will say, Arctic was higher on the per hourly stuff, but their level of expertise is far better. And frankly, I'm fine with recommending to the board to spend a little bit more money to make sure that we're doing things to industry best practices. And I kind of felt with our current provider that we paid a lot of money to have a cyber intrusion test done. And we were essentially paying to educate them on stuff they should have been educating us on the whole time. So that's just a little bit of background and my professional opinion on how the current contract is and why we're making a recommendation to switch to another provider.
Thank you. I don't mind you doing that, and I don't think that the lowest bidder is always necessarily the best bid. But normally in these type of things where you're comparing bidders, we usually see what they bid, so we have some cost comparison for one thing. And then, of course, if there's a bunch of add-ons, you can add extra windows for that. So I think that when we do have those competitive bids, I think it would be nice to see which normally everybody bids, so you have a ballpark or a range. And if this guy's higher, that's fine if he's providing more and better service. I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah, I'll say the we talked about that, how we present that. There's this one's a little hard for an apples to apples comparison, because you have this this dynamic on the time and material side of the equation. It's a little harder to gauge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got one outfit that charges more, but per hour. But they clearly have more experience and knowledge in that area. They might get the job done faster and such.
Sure.
But yeah, I understand your question there.
Yeah, it's hard sitting here as a board member to figure out, and I completely trust your judgment in regards to poor performance by one and better performance by another. But I think that to make the decision budgetarily, I think it's just, you know, good to have those figures in the packet someplace.
If you would like to defer this till tomorrow.
No, I don't have any problem. I just think moving forward in the future.
We could dig this stuff up and present it tomorrow if you'd like.
Yeah, I'm not asking you to do that. I'm just saying that for me, it's a lot of times you'll get the bids and you'll get somebody that's really lowball, but you know that that one isn't going to work. You know?
Yeah, so on their monthly flat fee, they were pretty close to each other. One didn't even, their incumbent didn't even bid what was in the RFP. They even missed that a little bit. But if I equalize those things out, they were pretty close. And the other one's just higher on their hourly wage rate. And then it gets a little nuances, you know, like for IT stuff, it's usually, you know, you have these multi-layers of responders. Mm-hmm. And depending on who that escalates to, it pays at a different rate. And sometimes they don't call those people the same thing.
Yeah, so I know it gets sometimes complicated.
I appreciate your comment, though, Mr. Chair. We'll provide something next time, and then maybe that's just give us the ability to talk those things through a little bit better.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah.
Trey, I appreciate the computers, you know, the computers you utilize. Does this also provide sort of intrusion testing in on your, like, your SCADA systems and that sort of thing as well?
So we did that separately. We could probably, you know, if we had like some firewall stuff that we wanted them to test, we could have them test that and help us set it up and make changes and things like that, because we have a couple of touch points there where you have entries into our system. But for the most part, we kind of like to keep those things really divided.
Right.
Our operating system and our business network, the two completely different entities, but they do commingle a little bit.
And is there?
And I think more answer to your question. I think they have the expertise to support us in a couple of those areas.
Okay. Yeah. Mr. Chair, just to follow up on that, is there federal mandates for facilities such as ours in terms of the amount of security and how we secure those? Because I read accounts all the time of grids being hammered by.
So I'll say NERC is establishing, this is a kind of a moving target right now. The industry is really trying to figure out how, from a regulatory standpoint, how do we regulate this and force entities to be proactive and take care of these particular things. There are some NERC standards, I think, that are either fully developed or in the process of being refined right now. We don't fall under NERC, but I kind of tend to stand back a little bit and just, well, what's industry best practice? I mean, what should we be doing? Mm-hmm. And trying to base it around that. I believe this the owner of this particular company, he's got like a master's of science in cybersecurity. Mm-hmm. So I mean, he clearly has the credentials and in the background behind that, where I thought our previous provider didn't have any of that. So
I would imagine the point of intrusion is also through the local utilities. Do you work with the local utilities to ensure that they're up to snuff on their end?
So where we've interconnected, you probably heard us mention the Orion. That was actually one of the weakest links to our whole system. We could actually go in and cyber intrude on KPU through that and vice versa, and it was a kind of open, and so that was a really sensitive area that then we've since corrected that. And I think you missed part of the earlier discussion. The more you can reduce those points, those touch points, then you that's the easiest way to reduce your risk. And so some of the stuff that was being for that, for instance, as an example, using that particular protocol there that we were transferring data information, we're going to do that through a different mechanism now with firewalls and through RTUs, and we found a more reliable and I'll say a little bit more industry best practice method to do that.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Hearing seen none, please call the roll.
Amelon?
Yes.
Sievertson?
Yes.
Lynn?
Yes.
Prysunka?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. That brings us to page 87. Motion in regards to the Electric Cooperative Association in Eureka.